Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are indeed the one that is mighty to save. Lord, our salvation is found in you alone. Mercy and grace is found in you alone. Lord, as we continue in this world that is difficult, where our faith in you creates division and conflict and heartache, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would strengthen us, fortify us, and build us up, so that one day we may die in the faith and be with you eternally. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So a few weeks ago, a good friend and I set out to ride a 50-mile out-and-back bike ride on the Northeast Texas Trail. So if you know this trail, it's an old rail line. And what they did is they ripped out the actual rail and made it into like a hike and bike trail. And so it starts in Farmersville. And it stretches all the way out to New Boston, which is like 25 miles from Texarkana. So it's a 130-mile one-way stretch. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful trail. I'm so thankful for the people that came out and actually created this trail. You get to see some really wonderful, beautiful parts of Northeast Texas. But on this day, my friend and I saw how not beautiful and not wonderful this trail was. So for story purposes, let's call my friend John. So John and I set out June 9th, before the sun came up, early in the morning. We're at Farmersville, we're on our bikes. Our goal is gonna ride 25 miles out, turn around, ride 25 miles back, and then get in our cars and go about our day. Simple enough, right? We prepared for the ride. I think a little one just agreed with me. She said, yeah. We prepared for the ride. We were diligent, we were wise about getting everything ready. We had sunscreen, we had extra tire tubes, we had bike pumps, we have helmets, waters, food, sunglasses, everything we'd need, and we left before the sun rose because we're like, okay, we're gonna knock this ride out before it gets hot. We had every reason to expect that it would be a great, enjoyable ride. We were confident too. We had ran a portion of it, not the whole thing, but we'd ran a portion of it, so we knew a year ahead, we knew part of it. We knew what it was going to be like out there, and so we felt good about it. There was no reason to expect anything but a good ride. Then we got on the trail, and let me tell you how those 50 miserable miles played out. We took no less than 75 spider webs with a spider in the middle, straight to the face. And a little side note, we'd go through a web and we'd think we got out of it, and we're like, whew, and then the spider would dangle down from our visor. Two grown men, ee! So we knocked the spider. We got whipped across the arms, the chest, the face, the legs, countless times by tree limbs. Our arms and legs were covered with hives, red whelps all over our skin. We were sweating buckets, which meant that every little bitty piece of dirt stuck to us like glue. And here was my added bonus. 10 miles out from the return, 10 miles out from our trucks, I broke my rear hub. So I did this the whole way the last 10 miles while the back end wobbled. A running theme in my head throughout that ride was never again. We joked a lot about quitting. We joked a lot about calling a wife and having one of them come pick us up on some county road. It was so tempting to just quit. But we pressed on. After 6 hours, we arrived back at our trucks in silence because we were destroyed. We were so tired. Before we got in our trucks and went our separate ways, I hollered at John. I said, hey, John. There's a 50-50 chance I'm in urgent care tonight hooked up to an IV. And he goes, same, text me if you are. Sometimes the journey is not what you expect, but you press on. So I thought about this ride a lot the weeks that passed since it, and I started to see kind of this strange connection between that ride and our life of discipleship. For our ride, we were prepared. We were diligent about it. We expected things to go well. But then reality hit and it was miserable. Much the same can occur in the life of discipleship. Our Jesus said in his gospel text this morning, he said, "Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword." Jesus said clearly, he didn't come to bring comfort and peace into our lives. He came to bring division. Now, this probably sounds puzzling, especially to those early disciples. They had been called into this ministry to specifically preach a gospel of peace. Faith in the Lord Jesus brings peace into the life of the individual. But then here they hear Jesus speaking something that sounds completely opposite of peace. He elaborated. He went forward and got into some details. He said, "I've come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." Jesus is saying that this gospel faith, this belief in him as the world savior, was going to create division. And it was going to do it in some very significant relationships. Think about it, a sword. A sword doesn't unite things. A sword, by its very nature, separates things. It breaks things apart. And it often does so painfully. Go find any person that's had a limb or finger or something cut off by a knife or sword and say, "How was it?" And they won't say, "Yeah, it wasn't bad." No. They'll tell you it was miserable, that it was painful. Division's always painful. Here Jesus speaks about conflict and heartache. Driving a wedge between a son and a father and a mother and daughter, that's no small thing. That's a heartbreaking image. No one desires that. No one looks for that. No one seeks that out. But that's often the reality of following Christ Jesus as the exclusive Savior of the world. Jesus is explaining the radical nature of following him. There's a graveness in his tone. I like to think that if we could have heard him actually speak these words to his disciples audibly, we would have heard a solemn, serious tone from him. Now, Jesus doesn't revel in this division. He doesn't find any joy in a family split apart on account of the gospel. I would expect any manner of hardship on account of following Jesus brings heartache to our Lord. He finds no joy in seeing a son separated from a father because the son believes and the father won't. He finds no joy in a daughter and mother separated because the mother refuses to believe in Jesus. He finds no joy in any relationship that is broken apart because one believes and one doesn't. But unfortunately, that's the reality of the world we live in. He never promised it was going to be easy. Jesus never promised his disciples or us today that it would be life, peace, and comfort. He never promised us that if we go out in the world and live this life of discipleship, that the world will greet us with agreement or even respect. No, our Lord Jesus promised the opposite, didn't he? Verse 38, "And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of it." Take up his cross. A cross during our Lord's earthly ministry. Was it a peaceful thing? No. It was a horrible tool of torture and death. It didn't bring about ideas of comfort and peace. So when our Lord Jesus uses it today to speak to us the word, we see that the life of discipleship is not going to be comfortable. It might even get miserable at times. Go read the book of Acts. Read Paul's letters in the New Testament. And you'll see that the 12 disciples, they faced this too. They were hated. They were beaten. They were imprisoned. They were spit on. And some of them were even killed because they refused to walk away from Jesus. But they died in the faith. Despite all the difficulty, they pressed on in the faith. And we believe that because of that, today, they're receiving firsthand the reward for their faith. They're with the Lord. They're in his presence, and they're at peace. Now, I expect if we had enough time, everyone in this room could share some kind of story of hardship that you have endured for the faith. You remain steadfast. You remain committed to following Jesus. And as a result, you suffered in some way. You had to sacrifice in some way. You took some kind of hardship in your life. On the other side, there may also be moments where you abandoned the faith. You saw division coming. You saw the conflict coming around the corner, and so you just ran away from Jesus. You sought the way of the world because you got this idea that it would bring some kind of peace for the here and now. It happens. It happens to all of us. And when it does, we repent. We turn back to God. The conflict we face as disciples is not simple. It's not gentle. It's not easy. It's really, really, really difficult to stay on the path of discipleship, to pedal forward in the faith, especially when you're getting beaten mile after mile after mile for doing so. The temptation to quit can be strong, especially when it reaches your heart. Son against father, daughter against mother. Sin and the devil know exactly how to hit us where it hurts. Temptation goes to the heart. And when it does, we basically have two choices. One, we quit. We walk away. We give up. Or two, we bear down. We sink deeply into the Holy Spirit. We cling tightly to our Lord Jesus, and we press on. Quitting is easy, but the consequences are terminal. Enduring, remain steadfast, that's really difficult. But the reward, that's an eternal reward. In verse 39, we see the why of enduring in the faith. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Real, lasting, eternal life is found in our Lord Jesus only. Yes, we could abandon the faith. We could walk away from this difficult life of discipleship. But in truth, that only sets us up for eternity of misery. Jesus said, whoever finds his life will lose it. That's a heavy warning. You can walk away from Jesus, seem like you're free of this burden of discipleship, but we know by God's word, by his truth, that only leads to greater destruction and an eternity of misery and suffering. So what are we to do with these words from our Lord today? We're to press on. When the journey gets miserable, when there's temptation to quit, when all we want to do is walk away and give it up, we sink deeply into the Holy Spirit and cling tightly to our Lord Jesus. We keep pedaling. When we get off track, we repent. We turn back to God. We confess that we've gone astray. And then we press on. And we press on with a smile. Despite the hardship, we press on with a smile. Why? Because of what it says in Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and the sea was no more. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. There'll be no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. These former things have passed away. That is why we continue in this journey with a smile on our face. Praise God that we know eternal life is coming. And praise God that this eternal life is going to be free of all the hardships and the difficulties and the challenges and the heartaches and the pains of this life. So looking back at my ride, one of the things that kept me moving forward, that made that miserable ride tolerable and helped me get back to my truck without a wife Uber, was the guy riding next to me. The brother there with me, that was riding with me, that was going through the exact same miserable experience that I was going through. Had he not been there, it would have been so much easier to just quit. Much the same exists in this life of discipleship. We walk with one another. When temptation hits you to quit, you lean on me. And when temptation hits me to quit, I'm going to lean on you. We're going to pray together. We're going to worship together. We're going to read God's word together. We're going to continue to come to this altar and receive these gifts of the Lord's Supper together. Why? So that one day we will be together, face to face with our Lord in his eternal paradise. My hope is that as you continue this life, there are more good days than bad days. And in both, my hope and prayer is that God would remind you, would comfort you by his Holy Spirit, reminding you of his presence, reminding you that you are loved, forgiven, and redeemed. And most importantly, reminding you that a day is coming, an amazing, incredible day is coming where you are going to be in his presence, face to face with the very living God. Press on. Continue the journey. It's absolutely worth it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gift of faith. We thank you that you have opened our hearts and our minds to your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation that comes through him. Lord, as we go about this life, we're not naive. We know it's going to be difficult. We know there's going to be divisions, there's going to be heartaches, there's going to be challenges. And Lord, when those do hit, we ask that your Holy Spirit would strengthen us, that those would be moments where our faith grows instead of weakens, that we would continue to cling to you tightly until through your Son we come into your eternal presence. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.